to children's church now. Kids, who's doing children's church? Okay, Logan and Aubrey, thank you very much for doing that. Y'all turn your Bibles, and we're going to have our first text verse will be in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 17. 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 17 is where I'm going to start. But I have a lot of scriptures for you today. So basically, I'm going to give you a little Bible study this morning on a certain subject. And the subject is this. Maybe some little bit of repetition for some of you, especially those of you in my Sunday school class, because I've been over it again. But I kind of wanted to start off on the bottom here so that everyone will know. I'm finished with 2 Peter, unless I get some more sermons out of there. And I want to give you some lessons, and they're more like in the form of a lesson instead of much of a sermon. So I want to talk to you this morning on this subject, which is right, Sabbath or Sunday. The Sabbath or Sunday. Which would be right? Which day should we worship God? As a matter of fact, we ought to worship God every day. Amen. We should worship God any day and every day. But there's a day where the people, the first Christians, assembled together. And in the Old Testament, you have the Sabbath. So which is right? First day of the week or the last day of the week? What is it? Do you want to follow Moses or do you want to follow Jesus Christ? You want to give God the first part of your week or do you want to give God the last part of your week? See, so it's like that. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 17 is where I wanted to start. It says, "You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Now, I gave you that last week. That was my fourth point. And my fourth point last week was, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, everything on the earth will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? And one of those persons, the kind of persons we ought to be, is to beware. So he says there, to beware, lest you be led away with the error. You can be led away into error. You cannot fall out of salvation. You cannot lose salvation, but you can be led away into false doctrine. And so that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, about the Sabbath or Sunday. I know some of you may know the answer, but you may not know where the scriptures are. You may not know the scriptures. If you talked with somebody, you may not be able to convince them, or you may not be able to show them from the Bible. And see, that's what matters, is what does the Bible say? Not what someone's opinion is, not what my opinion is, but what does God say? What does the Bible say about that matter, you see? We don't just give our own opinion. It's what God says in the Bible. So Sabbath or Saturday. Let's pray. You pray with me and for me this morning. Father, we come to thy throne of grace, Father, and we pray to you to help us this morning, Father. And God, we feel our weakness physically and spiritually, so I pray to you to help us this morning. God, I thank you for the privilege to preach, to be here. Thank you for the privilege to have people who will come, who listen, God, and thank you for the privilege to have friends. Father, I pray to you to help me to preach this morning, and may God, you add your blessing to the reading of your holy words, and please help these things to give us instruction and make us stronger in the faith. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said, there'll be a little bit of repetition there, and it's going to be some like a Bible study and some lessons that I want to give you. So the question is, do you know the answer? Which one is right? Is it Sabbath? The Sabbath is the seventh day of the week, the last day of the week. The word Saturday and Sabbath are not the same word, but the word Sabbath means to cease, to stop, don't work. That's what that meant, you see, and that's what they had in the Old Testament. The first day of the week, we'll talk about that. So which one is right, the seventh day or the first day of the week? Do you know the answer from the Bible? If someone came along, could they lead you astray? Could they lead you to do the wrong thing? Let me give you two or three points here by way of introduction. There's a movement out there. I just see a video every once in a while. It's called the Hebraic Roots Movement, you know, from the word Hebrew, Jewish. The Hebraic Roots Movement. They're telling people that the seventh day or the Sabbath is right and that you must keep the law. You must keep the law. Now, let me stop for a minute and say something about the law. There's plenty in the law that you can keep. Everything that's good in the law that does not contradict something that Paul said in his writings is fine. You can keep that part. There's plenty there for you to keep. But these people telling you that you must keep the law, they just pick and choose. They just pick and choose things that they want to keep, and things they don't want to keep, they don't. Because I'm going to show you some things that I'll guarantee you they don't keep. They don't keep. Nobody keeps the law properly. Nobody keeps the law all the way. The law. If you don't know what the law is, you haven't been saved that long, you don't know what the law is. The law, when you read in the Bible and you read something about the law, it's talking about Moses' law, the law that God gave to Moses, and it goes from Exodus chapter 20, and it begins with the Ten Commandments, and it goes all the way through to the cross. That period of time in there, from Exodus chapter 20, that is the law. Those people there, the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, God gave them a group of laws, many, many laws and rules and regulations to live under, to regulate their life. I mean, all of their society, everything, you see, how to treat people, how to do this and how to do that. He gave them, it's called the law. It's called the Mosaic Law. It's a covenant that God made with them. That's the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. The entire Old Testament is about the Jewish nation. It's the history of the Jewish nation. That's what it's about. We're studying in Sunday school. You know, sometimes, you know, you might think, well, what's that got to do with me? You see, well, all of the Bible is given by inspiration of God. It's all profitable. You're supposed to read the whole thing. You're supposed to look, and it's given to you for an example, see. There's things in there that are given to us. Whenever they did something wrong, we're not supposed to do that, see. And so that's what that's about. Some people say that you're supposed to keep the law. They get the idea from the book of Matthew, mostly because it says there, and I've given some of you folks this in Sunday school, but turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number five and verse number 17. If you don't know this, if you already know it by heart, fine. You don't have to turn there. Matthew chapter number 5 and look at verse number 17. Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 17. I'm going to read several verses there. Here's Jesus talking. Jesus says, and it's about the law. So he's going to tell us, should we keep the law or should we not keep the law? Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 17, Jesus said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. All right, everybody see that? He said, I didn't come to destroy the law. The law is not destroyed. The law is still there. It's just this, that you don't have to keep it as a means of salvation. You don't have to keep it for that, but it's still there. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law. Going on in verse number 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Verse number 19 says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he should be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Not in heaven, but in the kingdom of heaven, which is an earthly kingdom on the earth, ruled by heaven's rules. The kingdom of heaven is not heaven. Don't ever think that. We'll have a lesson on that. Verse number 20 says, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. People see that, and they say, well, you see there, Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law. That's true. Jesus Christ came to do for you what you could not do for yourself. He came to fulfill the law. He obeyed the law for you, what you cannot do. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law because you can't. You cannot fulfill the law perfectly, you see. So people read that. Look here. People do not understand that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, up until the cross in Matthew, and up until the cross in Mark, up until the cross in Luke, up until the cross in John, all that stuff is Old Testament. The Old Testament goes all the way over to the cross, and then the law or the Old Testament ends at the cross. And it begins whenever Jesus Christ is hanging on the cross and he breathes his last breath, then the New Testament begins. So when you're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're reading Old Testament stuff there, see. Of course, these people here that Jesus is talking to, yes, they're still under the law. They're under the law until the cross. Does everybody understand that? The New Testament does not begin until Jesus dies on the cross, you see. And so people say, see there, you're supposed to keep the law. Jesus said, I came to fulfill it. He fulfilled it for you because you can't. You can't fulfill the law. That's one movement out there. Then you have people out here also called the Seventh-day Adventist. They don't know very much, but they teach this. Seventh-day Adventists teach that Sunday church is the mark of the beast. Teach Sunday church. If you go to church on Sunday, that's the mark of the beast. Turn in your Bibles to a Revelation chapter number, chapter number 13. Revelation chapter number 13, and let's see if it tells us there that Sunday church is the mark of the beast. Look in verse number, let's begin in verse number 15 or 16 there. Let's take verse number 16. Verse number 16, Revelation chapter 13, he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. It's two things there. First off, he said, a mark in your hand or in your forehead. Did y'all read anything in there about Sunday church? Anybody see anything there about Sunday church being the mark of the beast? No, it's a mark. It's a literal mark. In your hand. I don't know. Is it a chip? A chip in your hand? A chip in your forehead? They put a chip in there. You see, if you lived in the tribulation period and you weren't saved, I mean, you know, you missed the rapture. Let's say you missed the rapture. You don't want to miss the rapture, folks. You miss the rapture, you go into the tribulation period, you take the mark of the beast, they got a chip in your forehead, chip in your hand, you go into the supermarket and it records all of your information as you walk in. You go around and get your buggy and get your food and you come back by and all you got to do is just pass by the checkout stand and it scans everything and takes the money out of your account. Cashless society, you see. The mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is not Sunday church. The mark of the beast is a mark in your head, in your forehand, something like that, see. They can already do that. They can already put chips in your hand, chips in your body, stuff like that. He has a number. Doesn't he have a number there? Look at the next verse, verse number 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of the man. You know, a beast. The beast is the Antichrist. He's a man. See, sometimes in the Bible, God gives the names of animals to people, to men. Here he's called a beast. He's a man, the Antichrist. He's a false Christ. He will rule over the earth. And he has a number. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of, look at that, a man. Not mankind. See, if you've got anything but a King James Bible, it probably says something different. It probably says the number of man. Now, see, if you take one word, just change one letter from a King James Bible, it changes the meaning. It's a lot of difference between the number of man, which would be everybody, or the number of a man who is the Antichrist, you see. So he says here, he has a number. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 600, 666. 666. That is his number. Folks, there is nothing in there about Sunday church. There's nothing in there about worshiping on Sunday being the mark of the beast. That's nothing but foolishness. That's nothing but foolishness, and there's nothing to it. Number three, so number one, you got the Hebraic roots movement. Number two, you got the Seventh-day Adventist. And number three, you have the, I never have met any, but they have there's a denomination called the Seventh-day Baptist. The Seventh-day Baptist is a Baptist, and they come to church on Saturday. come to church on Saturday. How do you think you'd feel coming to church on Saturday? You probably feel kind of funny. There's a church over here that comes. I'm not being critical of them, just pointing them out. But Paul, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but I may not even get over there. Paul, on his missionary journeys, he went into the synagogue on Saturday, on the Sabbath. So they say, well, looky there. There's Paul. He went to church. He went to the synagogue where the Jews are on Saturday. Why did he go there? He went there to preach to a bunch of lost people. That's why he went to the synagogue on Saturday. Because all those Jews in there are unsaved. He didn't go in there to worship with them. He went in there to try to get them saved. That's why he went. You find that. We'll look it up after a while. In Acts chapter number 17, verses 1 to 4. In Acts chapter number 18. People are trying to... Let me give you a couple other things here. Number one, I told you a while ago that, folks, suicide does not send people to hell. It's a bad thing. But going right along with that, somebody wants to go to church on Saturday, they're not going to go to hell for that. That's not why you go to hell for going to church on Saturday. People go to hell because they don't get saved, because they don't accept, have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They don't have a Savior. They don't have an advocate. They don't have a mediator. They have no sacrifice for their sins. They're just standing there. They'll be standing there naked before God. And only their good works, that's all they have. You have a Savior, you're saved. Well, you can go to church on Saturday if you want to. You'll have your doctrine all fouled up. That's what you'll have. That's what they have. Their doctrine is all fouled up. They don't know what they're talking about. If there's some that are saved, well, praise God for that. You can go to church on Sunday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you see. That's not gonna keep anybody out of hell. Number two is trying to keep the law won't send anybody to hell unless you're trying to keep the law in order to be saved. You see, you can't. There's nobody that's good enough. People's doctrine is all messed up. But why be stupid? Nobody has to be stupid. It's right there in the Bible. I mean, these people twist the scriptures around. They twist and they pervert the scriptures. Just take the Bible and believe the simple first. Who could mess up John 3:16? You know anybody could mess up John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I guess maybe some people could mess that up. But just take the simple. Believe the simple first, and then you go to the complicated later, see. Take the simple first. Get saved first. Trust Jesus Christ first. Then you can figure out the hard stuff. And I guarantee you, there's some hard stuff around. There's some hard stuff in the Bible. Last night, Brother Dias and I were at the jail. Our tracts are scattered around in the jail out there because we've given them out. And some of our Bibles are out there. We give out some Bibles. And we finally found a fella. We had four men come out, and we talked to them. And I just couldn't get it across to two of them. They said, well, I'm okay. I'm just feeling like I'm okay. I'm feeling like I'm okay. That's what they said. I just feel like I'm okay. I feel, you know. Folks, let me tell you something. Don't ever trust your feelings. You don't trust your feelings. You trust the Bible. But that's what they were trusting. I couldn't get across to them, but this one other fellow sitting next to him, I said, how about you? He said he wanted to get saved, but then he pulled out a tract. He had found a tract in the jail there, and he read the tract, and he said, I did what this said right here. I did. You did? Well, yeah. I said, well, that's all it is trust in Jesus, you know, and he had done what the tract said, and the tract tells you what to do, how to get saved, you know. And he had done that. So we talked to him a little bit there. But see, people are always trusting in their feelings. You can't trust your feelings. Let me give you a couple of points here. Number one, where and when did the Sabbath start? Where was it given? So get your Bibles. Turn with me, please, to the first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter number 2. I'm going to have to go fast. Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 1. It does not use the term Sabbath here. Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 1. This is talking about creation here. It's finished. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, well, you see, God started with day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6, and day 7 when he started creation. You know when God started creation? On Sunday, first day of the week. I've got a book at home, and I think maybe might be one or two of you other have this verse. This guy figured it all out, and he said God began creation on October the 23rd, 4004 B.C., on the first day of the week. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So there he set apart the seventh day. Now here's the only thing I want you to get. Number one, God set apart the seventh day there. It is not called the Sabbath, but he didn't tell anybody else to obey the Sabbath. Nobody obeyed the Sabbath here. You take Adam. Adam didn't worship on the Sabbath day. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, none of them obeyed the Sabbath. Didn't have to, because God didn't tell anybody to. He didn't reveal to these people that he wanted them to keep the Sabbath. Is that clear to everybody? Amen. Nobody had to obey the Sabbath right there. But I want to show you where it did come about. It did come about where God gave the Sabbath. Turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, and we'll read where he put it into effect. Exodus, the second book in the Bible, chapter 20. And be verse number 8 through 11. Exodus chapter number 20, here's the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11. Verse number 8 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that's within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, whereby the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Let's stop right there. So people read that and say, see there, we're supposed to keep the Sabbath. You know who he's talking to there? Everybody look up here. This is very important. He's talking to a certain group of people, the nation of Israel. The reason that the Sabbath was not revealed before this time was because that Israel was not a nation. They were not a nation. He gave that commandment to these people, the Jewish people. You are not a Jew. You are not a Jew. You never have been. You never will be. This is the nation of Israel he gave it to. Now, you better keep those other laws there. That'll keep you out of jail, you see. But you don't keep those things in order to be saved. You get saved by a person, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Turn in your Bibles a little bit further to chapter number 31. Chapter number 31 and verse number 12. Exodus chapter number 31 and verse number 12. Exodus 31, verse number 12. Here's what it says. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel. Everybody see that? To the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths, plural. There's more than one. You shall keep it, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. He said the Sabbath is a sign between me and the nation of Israel that I am their God. It's a sign for them that they are a special people set apart to God. That's why he gave them the Sabbath. Keep on reading. Verse number 14. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it, what does it say? Shall surely be put to death. Anybody seen any? I'm not being critical of Seventh-day Adventists. They can believe anything they want. Anybody seen any Seventh-day Adventists putting anybody to death? They've been having any executions in their churches or anything like that? Of course not. That's the law. If you're going to keep the law, then do what it says. It says there, if anybody defiles, they don't honor the Sabbath day, what do? It's the death penalty. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it's holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall be surely put to death, for whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from his people. 6 days shall work, may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. Verse 16, wherefore the children of Israel shall keep, do you see that? The children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Even if they get saved, it's still a sign for them. It's a sign. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. The seventh day he rested, he was refreshed. Verse number 18. All right, that's Exodus. Turn your Bibles on over to Nehemiah chapter number 9. Nehemiah chapter number 9, where we were at this morning, except we were just in Sunday school, except we were in chapter number 1. Nehemiah chapter number 1, chapter number 9, I mean. And I'm going to show you where God revealed the Sabbath to the children of Israel. See, look, up until this point right here, until the children of Israel got out of Egypt and they came to Mount Sinai, God had not revealed to them that he wanted them to keep the Sabbath. But when they came out of Egypt, they came across the Red Sea, and they stopped at Mount Sinai, and God gave them commandments. Then he revealed to them, keep the Sabbath. But until that time, from Genesis chapter number 2, no, nobody kept the Sabbath. He didn't tell them to. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse number 13. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai and spakest with them from heaven and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments. See, at Mount Sinai. Verse number 14, and made us, look at what it says, made us known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant. Everybody see that? I could read you, but for the sake of time, I'll not go to Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12 and verse number 20, which says that it is a sign. Here's what it is. Israel is a set-apart nation to God, and he set them apart by giving them commandments, and one of those commandments was honor the Sabbath day. We are not Jews. There was no church back then. You're part of the church. You're part of the church. You're not part of the nation of Israel. You have not taken the nation of Israel's place. The Christian church has not taken Israel's place. Israel is Israel. The church is the church. There's no church back there. He gave this to the nation of Israel, and he set them apart from all the other nations of the earth. I hope that's clear. I hope that's clear to this. See, they were to... let me see. Verse number 31. Nope. I guess I got... Maybe it's on the other page. You turn your Bibles... You're Nehemiah, turn back to Exodus one more time to chapter 35. Exodus chapter number 35. Exodus chapter number 35. And look at verse number 1. Exodus chapter number 35, verse number 1. Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said to them, these are the words which the Lord hath commanded, and you should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Verse number 3, ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations on the Sabbath day. You know what? You want to keep the Sabbath day? Then it's cold in the winter. When it comes around to the Sabbath, you're going to have to turn your stove off in the house. You're going to have to turn your stove off. You can't heat your house. You reckon anybody does that? I'll bet you they don't. You can't heat your house. You can't cook anything if you got gas cooking. If you got a fireplace, you can't light your fireplace either. No fire. I'll tell you another thing. If you want to do what the Bible says, men, probably men. You can't go outside and you can't pick up sticks either. No picking up sticks. Turn your Bibles to the book of Numbers. I know that shocks you because I know y'all are wanting to pick up sticks. But you can't pick up sticks. Numbers chapter 15. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15 and verse number 32. Numbers 15 and verse number 32. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks on the Sabbath day. See, so y'all don't know no gathering sticks. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and said unto him, unto all the congregation, they put him in ward. Be like jail, because it was not declared what should be done to him. The Lord said to Moses, this is the Lord saying this, the man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp, and they stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, let me tell you something, folks. You probably wouldn't do that. You wouldn't stone anybody for not keeping the Sabbath or picking up sticks or warming your house. But see, that's part of the law. See, so you don't know anybody that does that. They just pick and choose. They just pick and choose. There's a few other things, but that's as far as we can go. Second thing is this. Why do Christians worship on Sunday? Turn your Bibles to the New Testament. Go over to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28. And here's the end of the Sabbath. I told you before, when Jesus Christ breathed his last breath on the cross, that's the end. That's the end of the Old Testament covenant. Matthew 28, verse number 1, look at that. In the end of the Sabbath. How could you get it wrong? How could you get it wrong? In the end of the Sabbath, as it began toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Now, I won't read the whole thing down there, but you know what it is. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. When was he raised from the dead? On the Sabbath or on the first day of the week? The first day of the week, Jesus was raised from the dead. Going over to John chapter number 20. Open in your Bible. John chapter number 20. Not only was Jesus raised from the dead on the first day of the week, but he appeared to his disciples on the first day of the week. John chapter number 20 and verse number 19. Then the same day, first day of the week, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be unto you. Verse number 20, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. He appeared to his disciples. Turn on over to the next book in your Bible, to Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. And here's Paul on, I believe, his first, well, it may be on his second missionary journey. Acts chapter number 20, and look at verse number 6. Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 6, and here's what it says. Luke is writing. It's about Paul. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode, look at that, 7 days. Now look, folks, they came to this place called Troas, and they're going to stay there for 7 days. One of those days has to be a Sabbath day. See if he mentions the Sabbath in what we're going to read here. They're going to stay there for 7 days. See if he mentions it. Verse number 7, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together, when did they come together? On what day? The first day of the week. Some people say, oh, they came together on Saturday and it ran over into the first day. That's not what it says. It says they came together on the first day of the week. They assembled themselves together. The disciples, not a bunch of lost, unbelieving Jews, but these are disciples of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul went there. He goes there on the first day of the week. Together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. What did they have? On the first day of the week, they had preaching. On the first day of the week, The disciples came together. What do we have on the first day of the week? We come together. We assemble together. We have preaching. We have singing. We have fellowship on the first day of the week like these people did. Some people say this. They say, oh, it was changed from the Sabbath to Sunday, the first day of the week, by the Roman Catholic Church or under this Roman king by the name of Constantine. No, it wasn't. It was changed by the disciples way back here in the Bible. That's where it was changed. After Jesus died on the cross, then they came together on the first day of the week because the Sabbath was over. On the cross, see the cross right here. The cross changes everything. Before the cross, Sabbath. After the cross, if you're a Christian, then you come together on the first day of the week. He preached unto them, verse number 7, he preached unto them ready to depart on the morrow, continue his speech until midnight. He's a long preacher. Back up just a little bit to chapter number 17 and verse number 1. I'll be finished here in just a second. Let me point out just a couple of things. Acts chapter number 17, verse number 1. Here's Paul on his missionary journey. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. A synagogue. Not a Christian church, but a synagogue. What is in the synagogue? Unbelieving Jews who are not saved yet. Paul stops there and he goes in there. Why does he go in there? Because they're unsaved. And he wants them to be saved. And he's going in there to preach to those people. Verse number 2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 days, three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them out of the Scripture. What is he trying to show them? That Jesus is the Christ, and they ought to believe on him and be saved. That's what he's trying to show them. Verse number 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preached unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed. They weren't saved before, but because he went in there on the Sabbath day to preach to them. And some people take those verses right there. And they say, see there, Paul went to church on Saturday. No, he didn't. He went in there to preach to a bunch of lost people. That's where lost people are. They're going in there on Saturday. They're still trying to follow the law. Verse number 10, same chapter, verse number 10. Acts 17, verse number 10, the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went to the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, which whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed. See, they got saved. Also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Next chapter, chapter 18, did the same thing. I'm not going to go over that. I got one more scripture to show you. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 and verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 1. People are going to go to church on Saturday. They got to take up an offering on Sunday. That's what it says right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 1, Paul is writing. He said, now concerning the collection for the saints. What Paul is saying is this, look, I'm coming by, and I want you to have your offering ready. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. In other words, he says, this is how I want you to do it. Verse number 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. In other words, lay it aside. Get it ready. I'm coming by. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him. That there be no gatherings when I come. In other words, we don't have to go out and get it. Have it ready. There's two or three things I want to point out there. Number one, you come together on the first day of the week. Where are people supposed to be, Christians supposed to be, on the first day of the week? They're supposed to be in church. That's where they're supposed to be. You're not supposed to be using the first day of the week. Now, everybody listen. I'll get your attention here. You're not supposed to be using the first day of the week as a travel day. Where do you get that at? Is that in the Bible somewhere that's okay for people to use the first day of the week as a travel day and then use their money for their traveling expense, and then when they come back, they conveniently forget and it never gets put in? Is that what it's supposed to be? Is that what the Bible says there? No, on the first day of the week, everybody's supposed to be in church. And then he says, let every one of you lay by him in store. In other words, let everyone take part in the offering of God. Everyone is to take part. That means from the little kids all the way up, and shame on you if you don't teach your children to give and to tithe. That's a shame that you wouldn't do that. If your kids got a dollar, they're supposed to give a dime. If they got $5, give 50 cents. If they got $10, give whatever tenth of that is, a dollar. I'm good at math, folks. I mean, you know. Why would you not teach your children to tithe, to give? Who do you think? If you're going to teach your kids to stay out of church like some of y'all are doing, I'll guarantee you it'll succeed. It'll succeed. If that's what you want to do, see. You're supposed to teach your children to obey the Bible. So, number one, everybody's supposed to be in church on Sunday, first day of the week. Number two, everybody's supposed to take part. Take part in the offering of God, see. Why would not, when people walk in the back door, they get all of the blessings of God, 100%. But yet you would not support the work of God? You would let someone else, you would take advantage of other people who give, the handful of people that give and keep the work going. You would take advantage of them and you would do nothing? Is that what you think you ought to do? Oh, I'm exempt. I'm a special case. Oh, really? Is that right? Where's that at in the Bible? That you're exempt. Where are the children exempt? Nobody's exempt. Everybody's supposed to take part, you see. Amen. 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 See, so there you go. There's some scriptures right there, and maybe that'll help you to know. Looks like everybody's made a profession of faith in here. It's not like it was last Sunday. So let's bow our heads, please.